John Farrell is back in town. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays open a 3-game series tonight at the Rogers Center right here in Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet. So, I know a lot of you will be out there tonight. I would ask that you maintain a certain amount of decorum, not 100%, but a certain amount of decorum in dealing with the Red Sox and John Farrell. And I'm offering you a chance right now, because as loud as you get tonight, as many times as you yell, Farrell sucks, or whatever it is you're going to yell, he's not going to be able to hear your individual voice. But if you call in now at 416-870-0590, star 591 888-660-590, give you a chance to speak to John Farrell, because I know he's listening. Trust me. Eddie and Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Keep it clean, my friend, but what would you like to say to John Farrell?
Well, Jeff, good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
Well, I just wanted to say a couple of things to him. I would say, number one, welcome to jail, Farrell. You're in our house now.
Ooh.
And the second thing is, I just want to say to him, thank you. Thank you for reminding Toronto and Canada just who the hell we are.
Eddie, how do you mean that? What do you mean there?
He lit a fire underneath of us.
He did? Eddie, you know, it's a good point. I will say that there are people out there. I don't buy into this at all, frankly, because I know a bit of the backstory. But there are people out there who still think that a lot of what Alex Anthopoulos did this offseason was a direct result, or at least partly a product of kind of the shock to the system of basically having a guy say, hey, folks, it's been nice. I got a better job offer over here. It's my dream job to go here. And I know there's a lot of people that think that. That, I think, may have been a little tiny part of it. But
well, that's what I mean by coming back. You're in jail, and we're going to make your season a living hell.
Eddie, I appreciate the call. That's a good start. Living hell, that's good. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. And Eddie kept it clean. That's what I like. Your chance to talk to John Farrell right now. Robert in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. From your mouth to John Farrell's ear, Robert.
At the fear of irritating all the Jay fans out there, Jeff, I'd like to say to Mr. Farrell, if I could speak to him, congratulations. So few of us get to work for an organization we truly want to work for. And congratulations, because you're one of the very few former Jay managers who actually have a job in Major League Baseball as a manager. Even the gentleman who won 2 World Series in a row couldn't get a job after. So I think he has a great deal of talent, and I would wish him the absolute best of luck in Boston.
So, Robert, I'll put you down as a person who doesn't mind John Farrell.
Not at all.
Attaboy. Well, I'm glad because we are about fair and balanced here. Travis, Robert can never call in the freaking show again, okay? Got it? Attaboy. Just kidding, Robert. Anytime. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Anyway, I would say to him, you're lucky you worked for a class organization, because like the Bobcat said, I would have held on to your contract until it was too late for you to get a job this year.
Well, I do believe that he owes Alex a debt of gratitude if this in fact is his his dream job. Here's the thing, and I agree with Adam Lind in this, and you know, people need to understand that guys who've played the game a little bit, after a while, if you're a ball player, you're told, honor your contract, honor your contract, honor your contract, honor your contract, honor your contract. And you know what? The number of ball players who don't honor their contracts, the number of ball players who force a trade is so minute.
Yeah.
And then along comes this guy who doesn't honor his contract, who a lot of people think started not honoring that contract the day that Bobby Valentine was hired by the Boston Red Sox. I can understand why a lot of baseball people would look at this and say, yeah, screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. You know, everybody wants their dream job, but you know what? sometimes you make a decision and it doesn't go your way. You committed to a team, they committed to you, see it out, and you know what? If someone else is managing the Red Sox and doing a good job, you know, tough titty.
Yeah, how many times did that story come up in the last year out of Boston?
Of course it did.
It must have been, what, 10, 12 times?
And, you know, look, and it's human nature. It's human nature, Tom. I appreciate the call. We're not idiots. Like, it's human nature that John Farrell would have 1 foot in Boston and 1 foot in Toronto. You could not watch what was going on in Boston. You could not see the crap that was happening with Bobby Valentine and not put two and two together. Like, you couldn't. And if you're John Farrell, I understand it. But what I want to know is when John Farrell made the break with Toronto. Because, see, I'm not ever accusing anybody of anything. But I wonder how much of the stuff we saw last year, the way this thing went off the rails, how much of the boneheaded baseball we saw last year, I wonder how much of that comes from a guy not totally committed to the job he's supposed to do. I'm just throwing that out there. And that would be human nature. Steven Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What would you say to John Farrell if you could talk to him right now?
First things first. Morning, Jeff. I love your show. And
thank you.
Every morning. I actually ask him two things. One, did he ever actually have any loyalty going into last year's season with the Jays? Like, did he know at the beginning of the season that he had his sights set on Boston?
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, what's to stop you from saying this is your dream job in Boston, but let's say next season there's an opening at the Yankees. And the Yankees might want to talk to you. What stops you from jumping to Boston and going to the Yankees?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, too. There's so much back-channel stuff. I mean, John Farrell's roots with the Red Sox are so deep. There's so much back-channel stuff. I refuse to believe that somehow something wasn't known by somebody well before this stuff happened. I can't do that. I know how baseball people talk. I know how the business, you know, is done. I know about all the backdoor stuff that goes on in the game. Anybody who covers the game knows that. Anybody who thinks that, you know, general managers don't talk to an agent about a player until he's officially a free agent. Nah, there's a ton of ways you can do it. There are so many ways, so many back channels, scouts, assistant GMs, guys who used to work for both teams, guys who work for one team and have a friendship with another GM. There are so many back channels in baseball that, you know what? If somebody wants you for a job, you know well ahead of time. You know well ahead of time when somebody's going to come after you. You have an idea. And I guess what makes this even more difficult for Alex Anthopoulos is that Alex Anthopoulos realizes that from the start he had reservations about hiring John Farrell. He's been very public. He learned from this. He learned to go with his gut. He learned that when it comes to deciding on who you want to manage your team, it's great to solicit other people's opinions. It's great to be a conciliator and to try to put things together. But sometimes you just got to go with your gut. And Alex has been very clear that he learned from it and he will not make the same mistake again. Nolan Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What would you say to John Farrell today?
You know, it's not what I have to say to John Farrell. It's what I have to say to everybody else out there who's a baseball fan. Everybody's talking about the Toronto Blue Jays and, you know, World Series favorites and Boston Red Sox, and they look great, and it's a different team than last year. And everyone's discounting the Yankees. The gentleman you had on before said they are not a very good team. I think everyone seems to forget, you know, they have Jeter, A-Rod, Teixeira, Granderson, all on the disabled list right now. pitchers that are trying to play in cold weather. This is a team that's dominated not only the American League East, but the major leagues for almost the past 16 years. To count them out, I think, is foolish.
To count out the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can count them out.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm one of those people every year. Hey, it's a year the Yankees collapse. Hey, this is it. They're getting old. Boy, Jeter's beat up. But, you know, when you go out and try to acquire Vernon Wells and guys like that, that indicates to me you've run up the white flag.
Not so much. You don't think that was a direct response to the injuries that they're going to be going into the season with to try and, you know, weather the storm?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a way to try to weather the storm by bringing in Vernon Wells. I mean, look, I agree with you to a degree. Their hands were tied. That's a lot of at-bats you're losing. And the one thing Vernon's going to give you, I mean, he's going to give you at-bats. Huh? There's a lot of professional at-bats that the Yankees lost. And I don't think if you're the Yankees, you can necessarily run out a triple-A guy or a double-A guy and say to people, hey, he's young, we're going to give him a chance. You can do that if the guy is a 25th guy on your roster and you got a chance of winning. But if you're the Yankees, you don't want to go down with a bunch of guys nobody's heard of. And I mean, that's part of it with Vernon Wells. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays and Red Sox open a three-game series tonight at the Rogers Center, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, of course, Sportsnet will be your home for everything Blue Jays. Alex and Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's times like this that I brought back to my childhood upbringing on St. Clair Avenue West, around St. Clair and Oakwood. Very fond memories of that. And I remember a certain Italian friend of mine that taught me the cupping of the right hand and in a slow, deliberate motion, raising it in a flowing fashion with a smirk and the word disgraziato. This guy is a disgrace to the human race, you know. To stand up there and lie the way he did, I can't. To say thank you to him, the best thing that ever happened is what this guy did. And you know, I wish him nothing but no success, obviously. And, you know, you just, I mean, when you man up and you stand in front of the people and you spew the sort of crap that he did, I hope everybody, and I've decided I'm probably going to go down there myself to voice a bit of my displeasure. This guy deserves nothing but bad luck. I wish you a great weekend, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Alex. I wonder if we're going to. I wonder if we're going to get the. Don't forget, I was traded line that we got in spring training. Jim in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. John Farrell's back tonight in Toronto. What would you say to John Farrell?
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Look, what I'd like to say to him is thanks for leaving, because I was so tired of your post-game and interviews, although the television interviews with your stick, impaled on a stick stance, your bland, glib, repetitive, robotic answers to every question. I mean, they just were sleep-inducing. And now we got not only a contending team, which is really exciting, but we seem to have a manager who has sincerity, gropes for an answer. He seemed to feel that, I know that those damn things are, oh, I'm sorry, that those kinds of question and answer sessions are kind of boring and they get, you know, people have to be careful of what they say and so on. But at least Gibbons seems to be sincere. I got so sick of Farrell. Thank heavens he's gone. And let alone that maybe he did actually help us discover some bit of baseball identity, as one of your callers suggested. What do you think of that?
You're suggesting that maybe the organization grew a pair as a result of what happened with John Farrell. Look, I think certainly you had to do something to keep the fan base happy because the fan base had been slapped in the face. You know, it's one thing, and people got to understand this. One thing for one thing for a player to want to leave a city, and I keep telling people, the amount of times where a player tries to force his way out of the city, it's really not, it's not as much as you think. It's one thing for that to happen, though, and another thing for a guy who's a manager who was given a shot by an organization, a guy who's given his first chance by an organization to, you know, basically say, I don't want to be here. And that's what he was saying. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be in Boston. Well, that's great. Chances are we'd all rather be someplace at some point. But you know what? We have obligations. We live up to those obligations. And I think it's really as simple as that. Guess what, John? There are people who go through an entire managerial career and never get a chance to manage your dream job. It's just the way it happens.
Oh, no, he was, I'm so glad he's gone. I'm very happy, and I liked the whole issues that went down around it, and it got exciting, and it was good for all of us. Anyway, thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, Jim, I appreciate the call. You know, I think about the stuff that happened to this organization in the past couple of years. Maybe this was part of forcing an identity on this team. I do know this. You know, when you consider the amount of Red Sox fans that generally roll into town, you know, get all liquored up and, you know, make asses of themselves, I would expect that there would be quite an edge to this game tonight. I don't know if the players will feel it. Probably not. I don't think Jose Reyes gives a rat's ass when John Farrell. Jose Reyes probably doesn't even know who the hell John Farrell is. But I think the fans will let the Jays players know that this is not just another series. And added to that is the fact that there's a sense that the Jays are actually playing for something this year. And from a baseball point of view, it would be good if you're the Jays to beat the Red Sox when you have a chance, because you know, I honestly believe that this isn't the Yankees. There's some good pitching here. John Lester responds to John Farrell. We know that. And the Red Sox aren't the best team in the division. They're far from the worst team in the division. And as Rob Bradford said, right now one of the issues, they don't have much power with David Ortiz out. They're going to have to win a pitching and defense. This team is not a train wreck. It's not the Yankees. Miles in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You get a chance to say something to John Farrell. What would you tell him?
Well, thank you, Jeff. First off, after that quote you showed Farrell, I don't have many PG words to say about that. But what I would like to say to him is that I'm extremely disappointed in his decision to use Toronto as a stepping stone and to take the skipper job here without truly putting his heart into it, which I think was evidenced by his reported behavior when he knew that both Francona and Valentine were out the door. And I hope that tonight he's severely fustigated by the crowd and that he feels like he made the wrong decision after the Jays changed
his
winter. Hold
on, just hang on for a minute. What was that word?
Fustigate. It means to beat with a stick or pestle or to criticize harshly.
Yes, I have a new word. Can you guys check it up to make sure it's like not some, you know, Portuguese swear word? Just
no, it's
how do you spell it? Fustigate, right?
I believe it's Fustigated.
Okay.
And
damn, I love my callers. Fustigate.
What I find ridiculous are the obnoxious or noxious, depending on your take, masses of Red Sox fans that are genuflecting at the altar of this truthfully subpar manager.
Oh, there you go.
I wish him no ill will, but with something so vicarious as professional sports.
Vicarious! Oh, my God! This guy's bringing it!
It takes a certain type of sociopathic behavior to behave in the way that he has with a straight face, act like he was anything but genuine with our players, our media, and worst of all, our fans.
What's a cudgel?
A cudgel is like a shaped piece of wood.
Okay, because to fustigate is to strike with a cudgel.
Yeah, to strike with a cudgel, but it has a second archaic meaning that means to criticize harshly.
Oh. Yeah, I'll tell you what, this might be the call of the decade. This might be the call of the decade. I appreciate the call. Miles, fustigate. I love it. Jimmy and Vaughn, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Would you like Miles fustigate John Farrell?
I'm not even sure if I can spell that, even though he did. That was unbelievable.
Is that not one of the best words of all time?
How do I follow that?
I don't know.
Nevertheless, I have a different opinion, actually. My whole thing is anybody's dream job. If you look at your own personal situation, if you got offered a position where you thought that would benefit you and your family, we'd all entertain that. We'd all look at that. Now, I'm not sure. Did he get more money in Boston or not?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. So even if he did, think about your own situation. You know, if you're looking at your position where you are and somebody came to you and offered you something that was more pay plus a better situation where you have family roots, we'd all strongly consider that.
We'd consider it, but you know what? If in this situation, honestly, in this situation, if I had signed a contract that kept me employed for another year with an organization that had taken a chance on me, I'm sorry, I stay.
Okay, but so what happens if the team doesn't do very well and you get fired?
Hey, then I can look for another job. And again, like a lot of managers, like a lot of people, I may not get my dream job. I may have to do what John Gibbons did. I may have to go back and manage Double A. You know, but hey, them's the breaks.
But if the opportunity is in front of you, why not take it?
No,
why not live the rest of your life saying, oh, I wish I could have. He did.
Well, I'll tell you.
I think, Sadie, a lot of times, I think we have this poor me syndrome where, you know what, this is a part of a business. That's all this really is. And if he got fired 2 weeks after he got started or whatnot, my point is that everybody would look at this opportunity as a positive for them and their families, and we're lambasting him because he took it.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it's like, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate your point of view. In this case, I don't agree with it because I think general manager, but especially a manager, a field manager, I think that's a different situation. I think there's a code of conduct. I think there's a code of obligations you live up to. I really do. Now, if you want to leave to be the general manager of another team, hey, all right. That's a step up. But don't take a parallel move to another team. I truly believe that. I mean, I have no problem with people wanting to get their dream jobs and get as much as they can. That's great. But when you commit to an organization as a manager, you see your contract out. And you know what? Yeah, there's a chance you're going to get fired. That's part of the game. Going to your general manager and saying, I want to go someplace else to manage, is not part of the game. I don't think it is. I really don't. And that's where I have an issue with it. And then don't go and tell people, as John Farrell did at spring training, well, don't forget, I was traded. Come on.